We're talking hoops, H-Town. Our guy B. Scott has all the latest from the hardwood in Clutch City.
Ain't nobody in here acting like no bitches.
It's the Rockets Report.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Hey, Houston fans, I am so happy.
All right, it is now Rockets Report time every single Wednesday. Right here, 4:40, Brandon Scott joins us. And Brandon, this feels a little different than the regular Rockets that we're covering. Reminder, check out the H-Town Hoops podcast. You can find it anywhere, Odyssey app. You can find it anywhere you find your podcast. Him and Adam Spolane do multiple episodes a week. Check it out.
New one dropping tomorrow.
New one dropping tomorrow on Thursday, so check it out. And listen, the Rockets, I heard you say this earlier this week on In the Loop, and I was with you. It was after that Boston game. It was very much of the thought of, hey, like it's really sinking in that this is a team that's going to be in the playoffs. This is a team that's going to be a factor, and I think probably going to be a top four seed. It feels like that. Yes, I know in the Western Conference you could have a bad week and drop a couple of seeds, but it feels like the Rockets are going to be a team that's something to deal with all year long, and it's going to be a preparation not just for the play-in, but the playoffs.
Man, I remember when we were having a conversation of could they win 50 games? Like, is it a 50-win team? You know, and now, where are they now? It looks like
32, 33.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to probably get pretty close to that. And now, like, the point is the expectation for the team has consistently changed the better that they play. And more importantly and more specifically, the more that they show up against worthwhile opponents. I think the timing of all of this is really cool. How, you know, you just had this game against Atlanta last night. And where I really started looking at the Rockets in this way, really started taking them seriously like this, is a couple of weeks ago, middle part of the month, when they had, and they're playing Memphis tomorrow, right? When they've got those back-to-back games against Memphis. There was supposed to be an Atlanta game in between them, but it got postponed. That's the game that they played last night, the reschedule of that one. And they win both of those games against Memphis. You fast forward to a few days ago, and they win those back-to-back games against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Memphis, Cleveland, both real legitimate teams. And then you get to the Boston game, and that happens. You're like, oh, well, wait a minute now. They're showing up on a nightly, consistent basis against teams that you expect to be in a mix in the playoffs, and that's not something that you would have said. Like, you could see them show up a night here or there or get up here or there. The back end of a back-to-back against a team like Atlanta, yeah, and to show up and still be able to win that game last, like, you're starting to see
a mature win, more
consistent winning characteristics of this team.
How real do you think it is, B. Scott? I mean, because you talk about how, like, the basketball is obviously significantly better, but you're talking about the two right now in the West. And I mean, right now, if you just look at records and it's about, look at the wins, the quality wins, I mean, this is a team that's up there with anybody. Do you believe right now at this point in time, are you ready to put it out there that the Rockets can make a real run in the playoffs?
Yeah, from where we sit right now, and look, things could change. That they could go the opposite direction, and somebody could emerge. Like, there are teams that are behind the Rockets that have more, like, proven and well established players and veterans, mm-hmm, and teams that have done it before. Like, Denver is a good example, right? Dallas, you got different teams that are out there that could make a run, could do some things that could change your mind. But right now, from where we sit, as you asked me the question, I don't have a team that I would count them out against other than Oklahoma City. Like, it's Oklahoma City. They're the clear class of the Western Conference.
You're talking about in, like, a seven-game series in, yeah, the playoffs.
Just based off of what we've seen so far. Now, if we want to factor in history, pedigree, and who do you trust, like, I wouldn't say I trust them more than some of those other teams, but based off of what we've seen them do so far and what we've seen those other teams do so far and who we've seen them beat, I would put them in the mix with anybody other than Oklahoma City right now.
All right, Brandon Scott, Rockets Report. I do want to get to some of the reports about De'Aaron Fox, and we've heard kind of mixed things from Kelly Iko, also different from Chris Mannix. I do want to get into that, but it feels like to me and I'll speak for myself, but others, the shift really has come in like the last month, and that's been the emergence of Amen Thompson. If you just go to it and look at what his points per game are right now, you know, his numbers, like 12, 13 a game, whatever, that is not what he has started to trend towards. It seems like in the last month, I told Clint yesterday, it feels like he's grown in dog years just in the last month to step up to become this type of player. It feels like the change has started with him. Describe, because what is he? He's a great player. I heard you say you think he's already the best player on the team, but you look at his game, how do you explain it?
Yeah, it's hard to explain, and it doesn't, one way I would describe it is like, it's not going to look like, or at least right now, it doesn't look like your traditional thought of what the best player on a team looks like. And that is, hey, you feed them the ball, they go get you a bucket when you need it. Hey, that's who you lean on for that particular thing, and that's your best player, right? And it's kind of easy to establish that. It doesn't quite look like that because it's not like he's the guy that you're running sets for, but clearly you can. Like, that's the evolution of his game now. Like, you can call a play for him, but you absolutely don't have to. All you got to do with Amen Thompson is put him on the floor and ask him to be himself, and he's going to go and, like, y'all see the sequences where on this end, it's a block shot, then it's a rebound, or it's a block shot, it's a pass, and it's a dunk, and then it's a rebound, and you're like, wait a minute, 45 seconds passed, and he did like four different things.
Right.
He just recorded like four different stats. And so that's what the best player, in his version of best player, looks like, as opposed to Kobe.
Is there somebody comparative to that? That you would think of that is, because what it sounds like you're saying is somebody who has been like a number two. But what you sound like you're saying is Scotty.
I think you got to just like rethink the numbers because it's like
you could Draymond at his best when he scored.
You could compare him to Russell Westbrook. You could compare him to like a bigger Russell Westbrook. You could come because he can't shoot, but he can do pretty much everything else. Yeah. But he's bigger, so he can guard. He
defends so much better than Russell.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So like you. Russell Westbrook, Scottie Pippen, Kawhi Leonard before he really got his bag. You know, like there's so many different like hints of a player that you can find in him.
That's a good
one. But he's truly unique already.
Kawhi growing into the offensive game. Kawhi, his offensive game really picked up from those early years with the Spurs. And that's the ceiling part. That's a good one.
And Kawhi, I like that one. And even if it's just right now, it's hey, you run your offense through your best offensive players, that being Şengün and Jalen Green, especially when he's on. Like, if Jalen Green is having a Jalen Green night, you might want to ride that hot hand. But that's where your offense is kind of centered around, but also keeping in mind that, hey, Amen Thompson, if the ball's not going through the net, Amen Thompson is going to be right there to grab the ball and start the fast break. You need somebody to guard the best player, no matter how big he is or what exactly his skill set is, Amen Thompson might be qualified to do that. And it's almost like, you know, a high-level Swiss Army knife, a sharp Swiss Army knife.
The Boston game was obviously big for Amen Thompson, but to me it was more than the big number he put in the box score. You know, like you mentioned, you know, he's getting rebounds, he's scoring around the bucket, but then he turns around and he's able to D up, you know, two of the best players, you know, in the league, kind of deal on the other end, that are bigger body, longer players, and he gives them fits.
Yeah.
Like that's just the other thing to me with Amen Thompson. Like I think the biggest compliment that could be paid to him or feather in the cap is the way when guys have been injured recently, the way that Ime Udoka has clearly built it around him.
Yeah.
Like, and I picked it up from Ime Udoka, one of the post-game pressers. He was talking about how Jabari went down and how that, you know, Amen Thompson stepped into some different roles and you know, ends up bringing the ball up the floor. There was so much you could tell was built around his flexibility.
Yeah.
And Ime Udoka was really leaning into that.